good morning. It is a absolute gorgeous day outside, and here I am inside, but it's a wonderful day. It's always a good day when you got some Starbucks, right? Hey, I hope you had a great week. God bless you. And I tell you what, we've been seeing some great things happen here at our Canton Assembly, and we're just excited, man. We have had eight young people that have given their hearts to Jesus in the last few weeks, and it's just been a great testimony of what God is doing and what God can do. You know, I know sometimes we see all kinds of negativity and all kinds of things, but man, be assured of this, God is in control, He is in charge, and He is fully capable of handling the things that you and I go through in this life if we'll just surrender to Him. You know, over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about some different aspects out of Acts chapter 14, and it was the account of Paul and Barnabas as they were on their first missional journey, and they were in a city called Lystra, and what happened there was just absolutely amazing, because there was a man who was lame from birth, and this guy was healed. It says in the scriptures that Paul saw that he had faith to be healed, and he told the guy, hey man, rise up and walk. And there was a miracle that took place. This guy walked. Of course, the culture and everything was all full of paganism and idol worship and different things of that nature. So they immediately tried to say the gods have come down, and they made Paul and Barnabas out to be something that they weren't. And Paul and Barnabas were just yielded vessels, you know, to Jesus, and they gave themselves to the work of the Lord. And it wasn't anything that they did. They were just willing. They surrendered themselves, and Jesus worked in them and through them and touched this man's life. And they tried to redirect the crowds, but the crowds just wouldn't listen. In fact, they tried to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And it says in the scriptures that Paul and Barnabas were indignant. They tore their clothes. You know, it's a sign of indignation. And they basically were trying to redirect all the glory to God where it goes. And unfortunately, things didn't work out so well there, because there was also some people who had followed them from a previous town. And they did not receive the message of Paul and Barnabas. And what they ended up doing was stirring up the crowd. And they basically took what was a great, momentous thing. And they were selfish religious leaders. And what they did is incited the crowd against Paul and Barnabas. And basically, Paul was taken to the edge of the city, and he was stoned and left for dead. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something inside of me that if I was taken to the edge of the city and stoned, it would really affect my attitude towards those people. But the one thing that's amazing to me that Paul did is he was laying there. They left him for dead, but Paul was not dead, as we know. But in the scriptures, it says this, after the disciples had gathered around him, okay? So there was followers of Jesus. There was people that were actually ministered to, and people who received Christ and received the message, and they gathered around Paul. And it says this, it says that he got up, okay? And it wasn't in his own strength, it was in the strength of the Holy Spirit. He got up and he went back into the city. I don't know about you, but I don't know if I would have the wherewithal to just rise up and go back into the city. But I'm going to tell you, there was something that Paul possessed, and you read about it in all of his writings. There is a statement that he makes, I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. And that's the point that I want to talk about just a few minutes here today. Paul's life was a life of consecration unto God. And he spent a lot of his time and a lot of his letters just speaking to the heart of people that they are a new creation in Christ. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. I am a new creation in Christ. He talked to them about the new identity that they possessed. See, Paul's old self, okay, would have never gone back into the city. But his new heart that had been born again and Jesus was living, the Holy Spirit was living on the inside of him, it was absolutely, completely yielded to the Lord. And that's why he had the incredible ability to overcome even being stoned, even being left for dead, even being ridiculed and persecutions and all the different things that he went through, and he went back into the city, is because he was more concerned about the kingdom of God advancing than just his own self-preservation. Crucify the flesh, he talks about in another scripture. Let me just read this scripture out of Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. It's one that I learned a long time ago, but it's one that's just, God's been breathing some just fresh insights into this, into my life. It says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in my body, because friends, we have a body, right? And the life that we live in this body, Paul is saying this, I don't live it in my old person. I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then it says this in verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could have been gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And friends, that is it. That's, I think, one of the biggest keys. Paul was reminding the Galatians that his identity was not anchored in who he was, because we know he was a great orator. He was educated by Gamaliel and the different ones, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, a Jew of Jews. He had the resume. He had everything that he needed to succeed in life. But in other scriptures, he talks about, I've had all these things. I've done all these things for the Lord. I've seen the miracles. I've done all this. But he said, I consider them to be dung, okay? Or just rubbish is another word, in comparison just to knowing Jesus. And you know, I will tell you, sometimes I think we spend too much time anchored in our old ways of thinking, in our old self. I am crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Think of it this way, back in Roman times, they had some pretty grotesque ways of torturing people. Some of the vilest criminals that they would have, they literally would take somebody who had been dead for a while, a corpse, if you will, and they would take that corpse that would already be diseased and things going on, and they would literally tie it around them and make them drag that corpse around with them. Eventually, what would happen is, and I know this is really disgusting, but eventually what would happen is that corpse, the disease and the poison from the corpse would actually begin to take hold of the other individual. I think you see where I'm going here. Sometimes, you know, when we receive Jesus, we have everything in our lives that we need to live a godly life. We have everything available to us to succeed and be victorious. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have patience and kindness, all the self-control that we need to live this life. But it's not found in our old man, it's found in the new creation that we have in Christ Jesus. You know, listen to a couple of these scriptures. These are just amazing. It says this in Ephesians 4:8, you were once darkness, okay? That's who I used to be. I was once darkness, but now I am considered in Christ's eyes the light of the world. Because why? Because he's in me and he lives in me and he lives through me. My old man, though, can poison who I was. It can literally poison my mind, and it can keep me from becoming all that God wants me to become. It's an amazing thing. How about this? Romans 6:6. We know that our old self here it is again, was crucified with him, was crucified with Jesus, so that the body that was ruled by sin, all right, might be done away with, so that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Friends, here's the key to overcoming sinful habits. And I realize that we have coaching and we have counseling and we can go to seminars and all these other things, but ultimately it's found in our new identity in Christ. It's when we start to see our minds being transformed and renewed according to Romans 12:2, so that we can actually live the life that God has called you and I to live. But it's not gonna be with our stinking thinking about our old ways. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes we talk in, about our old life as if it's still our current identity. No, we have a new identity in Christ. And in that new identity in Christ, we have everything that we need to live godly in Christ. In fact, we're described this way. We're described as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not in Craig, not in Susie or Paul or whoever your name is. The bottom line is, it's in Christ that we are made righteous. Friends, did you know that there's nothing you could do to ever earn it? God's grace is a free gift. You do need to receive it. You do need to surrender and give yourself to it. But the truth is that God's grace is not based upon how well you perform or how well you get it right. Let that sink in, friend. It's so important. Here's another scripture, Colossians chapter 3. And these are just a few thoughts out of those verses 1 through 4. It says this, to set your hearts on things above. Okay? It also says to set your mind on things above. Sometimes we need to retrain our mind because we have old habits and old ways of thinking that try to come in. And it's just like dragging around that old corpse, man. It's full of disease. It's full of sin. It's full of infection and poison. And the longer we drag that thing around, it's like we're allowing that poison to continue to inhabit this body, friends. That is not the life that God has intended for you and I. In John 10:10, it says that he wants you and I to have an abundant life. Does that mean that we're never going to have anything go wrong? Absolutely not. We're going to have turmoil. We're going to have mountains that we face. We're going to have obstacles. We're going to have real pain that we face. But in the midst of the real pain, in the midst of the mountains and the obstacles and the things that we go through in this life, we can still experience joy and peace and patience and love and kindness and goodness, all the things that we need to get through this life. See, think of it this way, friends. My joy can never be anchored in the outcome. It's got to be anchored in the faith and in the person that I am in Jesus Christ. It's anchored in my new identity. It's not anchored in my old self. Love, okay? My love, or the extending of love to other people, it's not based on whether they love me. It's not based on how they treat me, because I don't know about you, but in this life, man, I have been mistreated so many times, but I'm still called to love those people. Well, how can I do that? I have to crucify my flesh. I have to crucify my old man and begin to renew my mind. And that way I can love as Jesus loved. Man, in his worst, in our minds, his worst moment, but it was the greatest moment, was on the cross, man. Everybody had deserted him. He was alone. But yet he considered it pure joy. You know, the cross, enduring the cross, all the pain and agony and everything that he went through in Gethsemane and leading up to that cross, he did it because he was not operating in the flesh. He was operating in the Spirit. And he said that that same Spirit is the Spirit that dwells inside you and me when we receive him. Friend, that is the key. We've got to renew our minds. We got to put off that old man. We got to crucify our flesh. And I am learning this more and more each and every day. You know, I've been serving Jesus now for 27, 28 years, and I'm still battling some of these things. But I will tell you that God is patient, and he is merciful, and he is full of grace, and his love for you bounds. It's not like this world. It's not conditional. Quit trying to get everything right. Quit trying to perform for Jesus. He's not going to love you anymore. What we need to do is embrace our new identity in Jesus, and the works of the Lord will happen naturally. Because love and patience and peace and all these things that we so desperately need, they're not based upon our circumstance. They're based upon the new identity that we possess in Jesus Christ. So I have been crucified with Christ. I am victorious. In fact, I'm more than a conqueror. That's what the Bible tells me that I am. That's who I am. That's my new person, my old person. Man, oh gosh, I could rehearse all those things. And I've been very transparent and vulnerable. I don't celebrate who I used to be. I was a very selfish, narcissistic individual. But the reality is now I'm surrendered to Jesus and I just want to do His work for the kingdom and for His glory. That enables me to love people that don't love me. It enables me to, accept some of the rejection, even, or to not reject people when they actually reject me, or, to love people when they say all kinds of things about you, or do all kinds of things, or, I don't have to repay, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, man. How do we turn the other cheek? We live in our new identity in Jesus Christ. Friends, it's amazing. My old self, my old man, has to go away. So I don't know if you're battling that today, but I'm gonna tell you the key to success in the Christian life is not you not doing this or not doing that. We grocery list so many things, and that's not what Paul put those things in there. He was just saying, this is the old person. You need to live in the Spirit. In fact, he in one portion of Scripture, he lists all kinds of things, and he says this, and such were some of you. You used to live like this. You used to live these sinful ways, but you've been washed. You see, he was reminding them of their new identity in Christ. So, when you look at Acts 14 and you look at a group of people that he was ministering to and loving and helped this man out, and all of a sudden it turned into a riot and he was dragged to the city and stoned, he wasn't focused on the pain and all the things that went on. He was focused on advancing the kingdom of God, and he was not going to give in to the ways of the enemy. He was going to love despite the rejection he felt, because surrounding him, even in that dark moment, there was a group of people, a group of disciples that were watching, and they were encouraged by his example. They were encouraged by Paul living in his new identity. So how can you go back into your city? I don't know what your city is. Maybe it's a bad relationship that you've just kind of shoved to the side. Maybe it's somebody that you need to forgive. Maybe it's a work situation, or maybe it's just some things in life you just haven't been able to get over. I'm going to tell you right now, the key is not in your old self and your old way of thinking. The key is renewing your mind and living the life that God intended you to live in Jesus. Hey, I hope this helps you. And like I say, it's a great, great life that we have to live. I know there's all kinds of things that are negative and going on, but you know what? We have victory in Jesus. We have victory over circumstances, and we have victory over our feelings. It's not easy to say that, because I battle this, and there's been many times that I just have not gotten it right. But God is just breathing some fresh revelation into my heart, into my soul. I just wanted to share that with you today. So I hope that encourages you. And when you read through Acts 14, that whole account, just remember, Paul was a yielded vessel. Yes, the enemy was alive and working, but the biggest thing is that he was living a crucified life, and it wasn't the identity of his old man that was coming forth. It was the new creation that God had made him to be. That's why he was able to go back into a very difficult situation. Hey, I love you. God bless you. I pray that you have a great week, and we are praying for you. I know there's lots of needs out there right now. We're getting reports, and we got people in the hospital and people all over the place just very needy. But I'm just praying that God would bless you and keep you, that his face would shine upon you, that he would be gracious to you, that he would lift up his countenance over your life and over your family and give you peace. God bless you. Have a great, great day.